will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
To the downside of venture capital.
People said, well, don't sweat the small things. Well, I guarantee if you don't sweat the small things, the big things are going to become a mess.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
Don't want to wait until you jump off the cliff to grab a parachute.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host.
Hello again, and welcome to another episode of the Tough Things First podcast, where we absorb the wisdom of Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO, Mr. Ray Zinn. My name is Guy Smith. Happy to be host of this podcast once again, and especially for today's topic. We have, as of the date of this recording, just started to come out of the pandemic. And for a lot of companies, they suffered through a severe revenue depression during the pandemic. So I'm curious as to Ray's experience and views as to how companies come out of prolonged revenue depression. What are the right steps in terms of rescaling their business, refilling the bank accounts, and all that stuff. So first things first, hello, Ray. I hope you're doing well today.
Well, hello, Guy. I'm doing great. Glad to be back with you again.
Oh, always a joy to be with you. I learn more from you per unit time than everything else I do with my day. So it's always fantastic. So anyway, you were in the semiconductor industry for all of your leadership tenure as a CEO. And we know that the semiconductor industry has these wild cycles, and occasionally, you know, revenues are depressed for a number of years, depending on which part of the semi industry you're in. And plus, like any other business, you took a couple of hits along the way in terms of, you know, customers checking out and, you know, losing a fair share of your income. So let's talk about how a company goes from being flush to being really tight on cash, and how do they rebuild themselves out of a revenue depression?
Well, that's a good question. You know, and actually, these cycles that we're talking about last between a year and a half and 2 years. And that's not unusual. Then the reason for that, the reason these cycles last for that length of time is that I talk about it as being the Newton's first law of economics. For one action, you have one direction, you have an equal and opposite action in the other direction. And so the harder the economy is pushed down, the harder we work to get the economy back on its feet again. And so if we're not pushing real hard, it just kind of drifts down, then it takes longer to come back up. And so we hardly even notice those, but those do happen. I mean, we have these kind of these weak cycles, and they kind of ebb and flow. They may last for 2 or 3 years. And they've happened, you know, just prior to 2016, the thing was kind of drifting down, 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 down. It took a while for it to recover. The harder the pressure is on to go down, the harder we push to go back up. You know, same thing if you have a real bad headache, you'll tend to take more aspirin or Tylenol or whatever to get rid of it. If it's a slight headache, you'll ignore it. If it's a big headache, you may take two or three just to get rid of it. So this is all natural. This is just the kind of way we react to pain, as you would. So the more the pain, the more the painkiller we put into it. Same thing when you're running a company. If you get knocked down really hard, and at a couple of times, I lost a fourth of my revenue a couple of times. Within a day, lost a fourth of my revenue. And so that made us scramble really fast to get the thing reversed. So this pandemic, if we just look at the period of time, and if we look at a kind of a normal cycle, a rough cycle, a difficult one like the pandemic, lasting a year and a half to 2 years, we are coming out of it. In other words, it's been about a year a little over a year, year and a couple of months since we've had the downturn. And you that are listening to the podcast, I'm sure are wondering, okay, what can we do? I mean, you probably figured this out when you had that big slide back in March of 2020. You were beginning to think, okay, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? And that's kind of the normal way you get out of these things is you start coming up with a pivot method, some way you can pivot out of the downturn. And you are already beginning to do it. I'm watching these little stores and restaurants and so forth. They're pivoting. Some took the time to kind of remodel their facilities and train employees. So they took that time while the business was slow to kind of regroup, as you would. So anyway, this is a good time to pivot right now. I mean, we're about a year and a couple of months from the start of the pandemic, or at least from the feeling of the start of the pandemic. Masks are coming off and we're beginning to really starting to rock and roll again. So it's just not unusual, Guy, for these downturns to these really significant downturns like we just had with this, or we're having with this pandemic, for us to figure out how we're going to pivot. What are we going to do to reverse course, as you would?
What are the first steps out? Let's take a scenario where a business has had severely depressed revenues. They see that they now have some daylight ahead of them, but they don't have the cash in the bank, not ample excess to begin hiring people back or to begin investing in things. How does a company kind of pull themselves out of the muck from a prolonged down cycle such as the pandemic gave?
Well, some of them have received help from the government. You know, there's been small loans that have been given out, unemployment benefits. And so the difficult thing has been getting people back to work. I mean, some people are not wanting to go back to work because they make more money by staying unemployed, because the unemployment benefit is so good that it's hard unless you're going to pay them, 50% more money, let's say $20 an hour rather than, $10 or $15 an hour. They're just not going to come back to work. And that's going to be the struggle. Our low unemployment is kind of forced. I mean, we're forcing people to stay unemployed by giving them these benefits. So the struggle for a lot of businesses are hiring people. I mean, they're coming up with all kinds of incentives to get people to come back to work. And until the government, kind of shuts the door on this benefit, it's going to be hard for these companies to find people. So I think this is the first struggle right now is just finding good people.
Well, are there other bumps that a business leader should be aware of when they begin to pull themselves back up by the bootstraps? I mean, money's going to be tight, but what other recovery realities of life might a CEO face as they begin to rebuild?
Well, I had one of my students contact me, about 3 days ago, I guess it is now. And he was concerned. He started a little business in the Bitcoin, a little Bitcoin service business, actually called mining, Bitcoin mining. He was asking me what he should do. And he began to pivot from making these little Bitcoin machines to actually servicing them. And that was the way he pivoted. So, so some companies will pivot from having your goods available in your store to delivering goods to the home, or some other way of providing a service. So the main thing is understand kind of what your strengths are and how you can profit from as we come out of this downturn. How can we best profit from this? People have a lot of pent up demand for just getting outdoors. So if you have a way to your business can service people who want to be outdoors, then that's going to really, really do well. I know that these recreational vehicle companies are they've got so much business they don't know what to do. I mean, some of these guys are sold out for 3 to 6 months from now. And the problem is you can't get the product. The pandemic, of course, with all the unemployment and people having to distance themselves from each other, has really slowed down the production lines. And so there's a lot of production issues that people are facing just because of this having to social distance and wear masks and only can work so many shifts. And so that has really slowed down the pipeline, and that has hurt a lot of companies. So what you can do is figure out how you can benefit from the supply shortage. There's a massive supply shortage in semiconductors right now, all because of the same problem, that social distancing and wearing masks and only can work so many shifts, and that has really slowed down the pipeline. And there's a huge pipeline interruption that we have to fix. So if you can figure out in your business how you can solve that pipeline problem, you'll do well. So it's just a matter of pivoting and understanding what's going to work best for your particular business.
Well, I think pivoting is ultra important to some other people, because the pandemic more or less eliminated or permanently reduced certain industries. I've been talking recently to people in the commercial real estate market. As corporations discovered that work from home is really, really a good option for a lot of them, the commercial real estate market is in a contraction phase, and they don't see any daylight, you know, out on the horizon. So pivoting when there's a fundamental shift in your market caused by a downturn or by a change in your customer attitudes is also part of the equation.
No, that's why I just mentioned, you have to take advantage, try to find a way to take advantage of this downturn. Commercial real estate's an example. I mean, we're finding out my son's job that when they do go back to work, they're figuring that they're only going to go back to work like 3 days out of five rather than 5 days out of five. And they're going to be able to rotate offices. In other words, they don't need as many offices because people, you know, maybe, you know, you'll be in that office for 3 days and somebody else will have it for 2 days or vice versa. Or maybe some other way of operating your business. So the real estate market, commercial real estate market, is going to be highly impacted by this pandemic, because people have found a new way to adjust. Now that'll get swung back around again. You know, I'll give it 4, maybe 5 years, and the real estate market will be back on its feet again. But the next 2 or 3 years, anyway, it's going to be tough sledding for the commercial real estate market.
Yeah, probably a few other industries as well. But it's like any wild cycle. After the dip, there's kind of a surge, and then things tend to level out after.
It takes about 4 or 5 years, and it'll be leveled back out again. So the real estate market, commercial real estate market, will be in the tank for probably, you know, 4 or 5 years. You know, going to take at least 2 or 3 years to just even get back to somewhat a form of normalcy, as they call it, the new normal.
And right about that time, the next disaster will happen, and we'll
absolutely
go through it all.
That's
again.
The way it is. That's what they call the ups and downs of life, guy.
Yeah. Always assume that the next disaster is waiting in the wings. Okay, Ray. Well, thank you so much. That was very insightful. I do agree that, you know, these cycles are maybe not predictable, but are to be expected. And recovering really requires being agile of mind as well as foot, and looking for your new opportunities or your changed opportunities as you come out of the down cycle. And for the audience, if this 10 minutes of wisdom has impressed you, by all means, go out and get Ray's masterwork, a book called Tough Things First, just like this podcast. I have a degree in management. I've read, you know, tons of business books over the years. This is arguably the most informative, entertaining, but also insightful from a basis of experience and wisdom of any of the business books that I've ever read. So I do encourage you to get that. Also, by all means, while you're thinking about it, hit that subscribe button as well as like button on whatever app you use to listen to podcasts. And also, Ray has two other books out there, Zen of Zen and Zen of Zen 2. Both of these are little small sound bites of wisdom to get you through your day. It's one of those books where you can sit down, read a couple of pages, feel enormously refreshed by the insights that are there, and then pick it up and do the same thing tomorrow. Inspirational as well as informative. So again,
I call them the golden nuggets of life.
That's a
good summary. So go mine some golden nuggets, and you pick up my two new books, Zen of Zen and Zen of Zen 2. I think you'll enjoy them.
I'm certain that they will enjoy them. So thanks again, Ray. And for everyone listening to the podcast, we'll catch you again in another couple of weeks.
Thanks again, Guy.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.